Welcome back. Sandy Barua once again sitting in for my dear friend Paul W. Smith, and I am so happy to welcome our next guest, Carla Walker Miller. She is the founder and the CEO of Walker Miller Energy Services, and if you don't know about this company, you're going to learn a lot over the next handful of minutes. Carla, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sandy, thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, I'm delighted to talk to you in this venue. I only really get to talk to you in like boardroom settings, and so I'm really excited to have you here. So first of all, tell our audience about Walker Miller Energy Services, because it is a fascinating company that's growing like a weed, that has gotten so much national positive attention. But tell the folks what Walker Miller Energy Services does.
Thanks, Sandy. It's really a blessing to be able to do that. We're a 24-year-old Detroit-based company, and we're really focused on helping families, helping communities, cities, states, lean into the clean energy transition by using less energy, converting to renewable energy, and really just understanding how beneficial the clean energy transition is going to be to all of us. And we absolutely have to expedite the pace of change.
And one of the things that is so compelling about your company is when people hear the term clean energy or electrification, they automatically associate it with expense. They associate it as a thing that only wealthier people can afford. And you have been busting that myth from day one. Talk about your work in the neighborhoods in Detroit and around the area that's making the clean energy revolution accessible to all.
Absolutely. And we're doing work in the neighborhoods in Detroit, but also in rural communities. We do work in the Upper Peninsula and in about five states. But our message is by decarbonizing, by using energy conservation measures to upgrade your homes, the investment is well worth it. For every dollar you spend on energy efficiency, you're probably going to save four or five. You're going to relieve your home energy burden, but you also make your home and the buildings that we live, work, and play in healthier and safer and cleaner. I have two grandkids with asthma, and by removing some of my carbon burning appliances, my gas stove, which I just put in a few years ago, my gas furnace, and upgrading by electrifying, I am going to make them less likely to have as many asthma attacks by being exposed to noxious gases in my home. And a lot of people don't know that. We'll do anything for our family and our kids. So how do we teach people that some of the things that they need to do as they are already upgrading their homes and their places of businesses? So there's an opportunity to make people more aware of the clean lifestyle and the benefits to build resiliency, but also to participate as workers, as innovators, to expand businesses and to start new businesses in the clean energy transition.
Well, and there's a real environmental justice aspect to that as well, because we see communities, more underprivileged communities without wealth, have much more of environmental hazards exposed to kids and adults day in and day out. And the work that you're doing is helping to combat that.
Absolutely. And that's so true. And you mentioned cost earlier. And because of the investment by the federal government, by the trillions of dollars in the next few years that are being invested in the clean energy transition, it will be easier for families and businesses and people in environmental justice communities and people in rural communities to actually take advantage of retrofitting and decarbonizing for the future.
Now, you and I have been closely focused on the dynamics around vehicle electrification and the ups and downs and the dynamics over the last 5 years in particular about the demand for electrified vehicles. You install a lot of EV chargers across not just Michigan, but through an expanded footprint. What is your analysis of what's happening in terms of EV adoption right now?
EV adoption has been slower than we hoped and than a lot of people expected. But part of that, there's two of the reasons for that is if people don't know much about EV charging, they know two things, that electric vehicles are more expensive. This is what they believe, number one. And number two, that there are no charging stations. But we are making investments, when I say we, the entire industry, making investments that are bringing the cost down of EV charging, EV electric vehicles, and actually exponentially increasing the number of EV charging stations and their availability. Market transformation is hard, and we are in a period of market transformation, but EVs are here and they're here to stay, and they will be our norm.
And so given that, and actually, I agree with you. I completely agree with you that I think that, you know, we have some dynamics in the marketplace right now that are very difficult, especially for our local companies. But if we're not preparing for the EV transition that is sure to come, you know, we're going to be left holding the bag 20 years from now. And that's the last thing Michigan needs. What is your take on, you know, some of the, I'm going to say, scaling back? I mean, we saw Ford recently announce that they're going to go from a 40% CapEx to a 30% CapEx on electrification. Do you think they're cutting back too much? Do you think that they're gauging it about right?
As a business owner, every business has an obligation to do what they think is best, you know, for the survivability of that business. So I really don't have an opinion, but I am bullish on the long term. And one of the messages we have to get across to people, Sandy, though, is that the total cost of ownership over the life of a vehicle for an electric vehicle is going to be so much less, and the environmental impact of owning an electric vehicle. I've driven one for about 5 years, and the privilege of not going to a gas station in almost 5 years has been amazing.
Well, I have an EV and a plug-in hybrid as well, too, and I'll say one of the greatest things about the Pure AV is that it's fun to drive. They're just so much fun.
Absolutely.
To drive, and you're talking to a gearhead. We have 90 seconds left here. I want you to talk about Recess 24, this National Black and Brown Clean Energy Conference, which you are spearheading right here in the region next month. Talk to us about,
yes,
what is Recess 24?
Sure. Resilience and Equity in the Clean Energy Sector Summit. To do the work of decarbonization, we need a lot more people. Black people, Indigenous people, people of Hispanic descent are sorely underrepresented in the industry, as are women. So we're inviting everyone to come and find your place in the clean energy industry. We are determined to catalyze equity so that we can retrofit every single community in this country for the better.
And what's going to happen? We're down to 30 seconds here. How many people are going to be there? Where is it going to be?
We're expecting 600 people. It's going to be at the Marriott Rinsen, and sponsored by Kresge. And we're going to have Argonne National Lab and their eco team and demonstrations on how to enter the clean energy industry and grow your businesses in the industry.
Carla Walker Miller, founder, chief executive officer, Walker Miller Energy Services. You can find her on Twitter or whatever it's called these days at C. Walker Miller. Carla, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great rest of your afternoon.
Thank you, Sandy. Take care.